Mr. Ang Sia San, Rule 7.
Yeah, as far as the wage, the labor is concerned, there were more supplies than demand. So we don't expect a very high wages. And as far as driver work is concerned, I was paid only $120 a month, which comes to about $4 a day. So whether or not we have got to take it in order to keep ourselves busy. So there on other wages are just the same.
What about your working hours?
Working hours, there was it's from 8 to 5. There was some time, but we cannot exactly count the number of hours. Mm-hmm. We have got to sometimes work is not finished by 5 o'clock. We have got to make it up to 6, or make it 5:30. Or sometimes if we are busy also, we cannot go by 8 o'clock. We got to go there at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Whether it's up to our convenience. They are not so particular on that. So we are not very particular on seizing the hours of seizing work.
How many days a week did you have to work?
Well, I think we work every day, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, we got to work every day. There were no Sundays. But you can, as far as the private employment is concerned, you can ask for a day's leave for your own job. They are not very particular. But they will tell you when you are required. You say like Sunday, they'll say, or Monday we have got to deliver, and give you a schedule, you see, where to go.
How many people were employed by this biscuit factory?
Oh, there were a lot of people. If I'm not mistaken, it's about 30 or 40 people. And mostly some of the workers are girls. Girls ranging from the ages of 8 to about 20. And they use the girls to do the moulding, the stamping of this biscuit, and it's placed on a plate, you see, to go into the oven. They are mostly done by girls, and the men are used to roll the dough, to roll the dough into mix the dough evenly, so that they can get the crispy state of the biscuit.
What about those 8-year-old girls, small girls?
Yeah, they are people also. They do the stamping. That are more where they stamp it, then they put it on a plate, go into the oven.
How was your working relationship with your bosses and with these colleagues?
Well, it's not bad. But they supply their own makan, their own food during lunchtime. And they are giving one hour break. They take their own lunch. They brought their own lunch in the morning. And of course, tea and coffee, they were all supplied.
Were there any fringe benefits given by the company?
Yeah, the company gave fringe benefit. Sometimes they have got to procure black market rice to supply them in order to, you know, that the wages will not go up so high.
What do you mean by that?
Fringe benefit, suppose they were paid a dollar a day, you see, which is not enough for their own expenses if they do black market supply. So they have got to, you know, supplement them, say, with give you one kati of rice a month, you see. So at the end of the month, instead of giving them money, they give them in the form of food.
You mean the bosses gave the workers rice instead of money?
Food. To supplement the shortage of pay.
To supplement, not to replace the pay?
No, not to replace.
Besides rice, did they give you any other kind of extra rations?
Other rations? No. I think for the first few months only. At the later stage, they also cannot do. They also cannot do the biscuit. They also stopped working.
You mean the factory closed down?
They didn't close down. They just continue on a very small scale.
What about the workers? What happened to them?
Well, they are all the daily paid wages. And if they come, they get a pay. If they don't come, they don't get pay.
How many months were you working there before you fell ill?
Well, I think it's about 4 months, I'm not mistaken. It's about four months.
After this job, did you take up any other jobs?
No other jobs were given to me. There were some part-time, of course. Part-time, where I was invited to do some writing jobs for the Three Stars. But that's all mostly voluntary.
Were you paid for that?
No, not paid for that. But of course I got some rations for it. Rations of cigarettes and rice.
So, what else did you do during the time when you were not working? Did you do anything?
No, not working and not doing anything except to help in the household work, that's all.
During the later part of the Japanese occupation, did you know that the Japanese were losing their war?
Well, that we heard only from rumors. They are not losing the war. They are not losing the war. And only at the later, last part of the war, there were news from the Cathay building that they have already surrendered. I couldn't believe it. So I say, if they are winning, how could they be surrendering? But of course, that is true. The atomic bomb that is landed on Hiroshima.
How did you get the news from the Cathay building?
That is from, you know, from rumors. From rumors, reliable sources.
Do you remember roughly when was that?
That was in the middle of the year 1945. Yeah, that was, I think, middle of the year 1945. I couldn't remember what date was that.
What were the reactions of the local people when they knew about this?
Oh, they were very joyful. They were very joyful, of course, privately in their hearts, but not outwardly. they didn't fire crackers and celebrate, no. Everybody quietly said, that's good, that's good. there's hope coming. You see.
What happened to the Japanese people, did you know? Did you know what happened to the Japanese people?
They never expose any news until they get their official, the official mandate to cease withdraw to do their own withdrawal. So when they receive the news, the police station calls up to everybody, the 3-star, the 2-star, everybody to tell them that very sorry, we have got to surrender by the order of the imperial the emperor, the Japanese emperor. So then they announce publicly. Only then they announce publicly, and they do their own. They do their own gathering up, and then they go into the camp themselves as prisoners.
When did they officially announce the news of their surrender?
Yeah, that was during the middle of 1945. But of course, during that time, there were a lot of, you know, bad heads where they get money, where they get ammunition from the Japanese. They try to buy some Japanese ammunition, and they try to be like gangsters, right? Branding their guns everywhere.
How did the Japanese officially announce the news? Was it through the radio or through newspapers?
No, they first announced it through the police station, and then nobody has a radio at that time. All the radio must be cut off. There were no license for radio, so nobody is allowed to listen to radio. So the news came, you know, from the police station, then to the public, and so everybody acknowledges that all surrendered. Then only the newspaper, they called it Shonan Shimbun. Shonan Shimbun. In Singapore, they call it, they changed it to Shonan To. So the Shonan Shimbun, that is their newspaper in English and Chinese.
After the news of the Japanese surrender, how were the conditions in Singapore before the British Army came back to Singapore?
Well, before the British comes back, the Japanese was still controlling with law and order. The police station is still functioning. Not until they pass over to the British military administration. But that was a time when they were very lenient at the time. They were very lenient. Conditions, the population is still very chaotic.
In what sense?
Pardon?
In what sense?
In what sense? In the sense of, the exchange, money matters, whether it's some people, they are still buying Japanese notes, some people are buying British notes, you see, from the bank, and there are some on the black market. So one day they say, well, $1 is equal to so much, and then they say, so one thousand Japanese notes is equal to so many dollars in British notes. So there are a lot of speculation about that. That's a chaotic condition.
Couldn't the Japanese control this since they were still maintaining law and order?
Yeah. As far as law is concerned, they're still maintaining it.
What about the prices?
Pardon?
What about the prices then?
Prices are so up, of course, so up very high. Not until the Red Cross supply ships with the supplies coming in for the prisoners of war. And then when the prisoner of war get the supplies from the Red Cross ship, prices of goods drop very much. One tin of the British cigarettes were sold at $4.50 a tin, which is equals to about 10 cents a stick. And there were a lot of tin foods also, but it's very expensive at that time. And some still uses the Japanese notes, some uses the British notes. But it takes a few months for the British military to take it over. A few months.
After what?
After the surrender. It takes a few months to come into operation.
The Japanese couldn't control the prices of goods.
Oh, they cannot. They themselves are buying at that price. Mm.
You mentioned that some people bought guns and ammunition from the Japanese.
Yeah.
What were these for?
Well, that is only my speculation, because we saw some people brandishing their guns without a license. So they thought they got it from the Japanese and they can use it anyhow. But I think they must have got it from the Japanese.
Did you hear of any killings going on at that time?
Killings? No, threatening, yes, but actual killings or not.
What kind of threats?
One against another. If the fellow enemy with another, you pull up his gun, you talk too much, I shoot you. That's a threat, but they never put into action. Mm.
Did you witness the coming back of the British Army?
British Army, I didn't witness, but we saw the consequences where they landed with American jeeps. They were very fast vehicles on the road, and whether they march in, we don't know. And how they transfer the authority to, we don't know. We have never witnessed that.
Did you witness the surrender ceremony?
No, I did not too. Mm. I did not too, because they were being performed in the city hall, and no announcement were given to the public. Most probably they did it quietly.
Were there any celebrations when the British come back? When the British came back?
Celebration? No, they were just as quiet as before. The only thing you find the Japanese sentries are not at these government buildings. They are all being kept in prison. They go to prison themselves, you know. They put up their camp with their sentries on guard also. And I don't know how they exchange prisoners, you know. But only about a few days, we find a lot of people going to Siam Road to visit their, what they call the prisoners of war, the British prisoners of war.
Did you know where the Japanese were camped?
The Japanese, they have their camp in the Changi, some of them in Changi, I know of, and some of them in what place I did not know. I don't know about that. They were being camped themselves. They camped themselves.
Did you ever see them in their camps?
No, I never been.
When the British came back, how were the living conditions, such as your food supply, the cost of living, and so forth?
Oh, at first they were quite high. They were quite high. We have got to the prices of food is still high. And the market is functioning, and the Japanese note suddenly disappeared, and then some of the market holders wanted British notes, and British notes was difficult to get at that time, and then the functioning of the bank comes into being, and most of our laborers are being taken by the British military administration into the government, the military department, as either laborers or clerks or so on, to give them pay in order to circulate their money.
What about yourself? Did you get a job immediately?
I don't get it immediately. But it takes about, I think, almost a month before I went down to see the military authorities to get a job in the military. They call it BOD. That is military vehicle department.
Before you get the job, how did you manage to live without the British currency?
Oh, I kept some of the British notes before the British surrender, and that comes to about $600 or $700 British currency, and with that I started buying and selling through that little sum of money that I kept behind.
Buying and selling of what?
Buying, of course. So buying through market, we use the British notes.
How did you get your job?
I went down to see the military authority, and they advised me that all the military department, the vehicle department, where is you're working in the motor department, all be amalgamated into one. In which case you say you go back to your own form. So I go back to my own firm, I saw somebody there. He was one is a prisoner of war before, and another is they arrived with the British administration troops. They arrived representing the Bonnier Company, and they say so. I was the second one, so they asked me to look after the register all those people who are in your service before. So we make a register of all these people, their addresses and so on. So they incorporate into that, and all the mechanics and the technicians are being also registered, and they are asked to return to work as soon as possible. So some of them return to work as the workshop is functioning at that time, but they don't work. They don't repair private vehicles. All the vehicles they got is from the military. The military, they repair all vehicles from the military in order to get the military personnel to get going.
Mr. Ang, how did the Japanese occupation affect your own life?
Well, it's three and a half years without a job, and you know what happens at during those days. We have got to, you know, to live on hopes. But economically, I'm quite substantially supported. I too kept a lot of provisions during those days when there were shortage of food and so on. One clean tin which was about 5 pounds. I can fetch it at $600 for a tin of clean milk powder, and that money can keep me going for some time. And like condensed milk, I have half a dozen that I sold it for $35 a tin, and that keeps us going.